This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The day today is May 6th. The interview is taking place in Seattle, Washington, and is being conducted by Donna Maloney. What is your full name?
Oh, that's too long.
Yeah.
Agnes Christine Theodora. Mm-hmm.
And your last name?
Haugen, H-O-U-G-E-N.
Uh-huh. And then your married name, last name?
Stuen, S-T-U-E-N.
When and where were you born?
In Fargo, North Dakota.
What year was that?
1883, November 26th.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was John Haugen, and my mother's name was Trina Johnson Haugen. T-R-I-N-A, Trina Johnson.
Can you tell me some things that you remember about them? What kind of work did your father do, and did your mother ever work outside of the home?
No, she died when I was only 7 years old.
I see.
My father was a minister.
What church was that?
Well, the first one he had was in Fargo, North Dakota, the Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes.
What were their names?
I had a sister, Clara. She married Al Severin. And a sister, Laura, and she married Dr. Hansen. And I had a brother named John. And he was a lawyer. He died just last January. Mm-hmm. And then my father remarried. And they had a boy and two girls. That would be Olaf and two girls. And then when the youngest was about 8 years old, they had three little boys come as fast as they could.
Oh, my goodness. She was busy then, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. And then you see, that was when the youngest one was eight, and then came three more.
Oh, goodness.
So you see, I was growing up by that time.
Did you know your grandparents?
Yes,
I did. Could you tell me about them? Do you remember some things about them?
Well, of course, I don't remember my mother's mother, because she died when my mother was only, I think my mother was 17 when her mother died. Mm-hmm. But my grandfather, I remember him. Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did he do? Do you remember?
My grandfather? Mm-hmm. Oh, they had a big farm in Iowa, a great big farm.
Oh.
And I can remember him. He used to get on his horse and ride all around the farm to see what the men were doing, you know. That would be. And they had a great big vineyard. Mm-hmm. And oh, how we used to eat grapes.
Do you know?
Yes, and he made the wine for the church.
Oh, is that
the communion
right?
Wine. My grandpa made that.
Do you know anything about your family name? Had the name been changed at any time, do you know?
Not that I know about. Mm-hmm. The Haugen had, because my brother went back to the old country to find out.
Uh-huh.
And he found it written exactly the same way, H-O-U instead of H-A-U. Mm-hmm. And it was on a piece of wood, so it was carved in.
Where was that? Where had that family come from originally?
They had come, this part of the family had come from Norway.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where my grandfather and grandmother came from, mm-hmm. because her father was a sea captain, and he had several vessels mm-hmm. on the water, and one time he took his wife with him, and they were drowned.
Oh.
And they had these two children, and Uncle John Wilson was sent to a family in England, and my grandmother was sent to a family in Norway. I don't know how they happened to separate them, but because they were orphans, why, I suppose that's the way they did it.
Uh-huh.
But they must have been old enough to know each other, because they both landed in this country and found each other somehow or other.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That must have been hard as a child to have to go to a different country.
Oh, yes, it must have been.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know what country they came from to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
No one seems to know.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandmother was given to this family in Norway, and the brother to one in England.
Mm-hmm. What was the community like where you grew up when you were a child? Was it a farming area, or were you in a town?
Oh, no, we lived in Fargo, North Dakota, until I was about 9 years old, I think. Well, there's nothing but prairie around. I can remember I used to go out and sit out in the yard, and all you could see was the horizon. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the end of the world.
Just where it ended there.
Uh-huh. And I thought, if I could only run down there and then sit there and put my legs down at the end of the world.
Oh.
Is that crazy? That's what I used to think.
That's a good imagination.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there were no trees around. Then you'd go down to Grandpa's, and he had a great big, he had planted a big, I suppose big as this room, just full of trees. Then he had a big table there and everything. I thought that was just grand.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we go back to Fargo, we had a great big sunflower tree in our backyard, and it had great big flowers like that. And I took my chair and put that under the sunflower because I wanted to be under a tree.
Uh-huh. And that was the biggest.
I can remember that much about Fargo.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you go to school there then as a child? Did you have to walk to school there?
I didn't go to school in Fargo.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go to school till I came to Canton, and then I was put in the second grade.
In Canton. Your whole family moved
to
Canton.
My father moved to Canton. My mother was dead by that time. My father moved to Canton.
Mm-hmm. And did he work there then?
Yes, he had that congregation there.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't stay there more than about 5 years, I guess, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they moved to Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Did you go with them then?
Oh, my, yes.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Then he remarried then.
Uh-huh.
He remarried before we left Canton. And, of course, that's really the only mother we really ever knew, because I was only 7 when my mother died, and she'd been sick for 2 years, been down south, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she had TB, and they didn't. We always had a nurse girl or something.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't supposed to. And the children all sat at a separate table, because they were so afraid we'd get TB too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Then where did your father go from there then?
What did I say?
From Manitoba?
Manitowoc.
Manitowoc. Oh.
Wisconsin, that was. Well, let's see now. Where'd we go from there? To Decorah, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there for a good many years. That's where I graduated from high school, was in Decorah. And then until we lived in Decorah, I went to St. Olaf.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, then, when did we move? Father moved to the coast in 1907.
Mm-hmm. Was that here
but
to Tacoma area? To the Tacoma area?
Yeah, to Tacoma. Uh-huh. He moved to Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't come out here until 1912.
Mm-hmm. You worked in a children's home,
I understand. Yes, I did that for... I don't know, they don't have them now, but I went there to teach, and they could get all the teachers they wanted. No one to look after the boys, so they envied me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that? That must have been...
it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They'd always had the manager said, never had anybody get along with the boys. But I got along with them just wonderfully, and I don't know how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of praying, I know that, because I was really worried.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never tattled on them.
Yes.
And they found that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they'd come and, when somebody had done something wrong, they'd come and tell me. They knew I'd never tattle.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't do it, because he used to use strap on the kids, and we'd never been spanked, and I couldn't stand seeing anybody get spanked. I didn't think anybody deserved it. And you know, I don't know, that must have been how the kids behaved, because
mm-hmm.
they knew they weren't going to get spanked. I had one boy once that really did do something. He should have been punished, but I wasn't going to tell on him. So I said, I'll tell you what to do, Leonard. You go upstairs and sit in that cupola up there. And so he went up there and sat for a couple of hours. And he watched all the kids playing down below and everything, but it was a tower, and he could see all around, you know. And he said, oh, Miss Haugen, it was nice up there, but I was seeing the kids play, and it was much more fun to be down here.
Mm-hmm.
So he never made any trouble again, and he used to make a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. How many children were there?
Oh, I don't know. I had about 35 boys to look after.
What ages were those boys?
Well, I had one that I had to take care of And he was only 2 years old, but somebody took care of him at night, you know. Mm-hmm. And up to, I think, 14. Mm-hmm. By the time they were 15 and 16, the men folks took care of them.
Mm-hmm. Would they go to work then when they got
to the 18, they let them out in the 18. Uh-huh. And I didn't think they did the right thing there. I said, now there's a public school downtown. Why not send those children downtown? And they finally did that. I talked to the board, and they did. They said, well, that's the thing to do. But then, after a while, there are no orphan homes anymore. Mm-hmm. In place of orphan homes, you know what they do? They send them to different families,
yeah.
And the county pays for them. Now, that's both good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Were these children then that didn't, the parents had died, or?
Parents had died, or they had a mother living, or a father living. Most of them had a father living. And not a mother. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, we had one man that had three boys, very nice boys, and they'd been brought up really well. They were little, though. Their father remarried, and he took them, and another family. He had five children, and he remarried and took his children. That's the way it went once in a while.
Mm-hmm. When you left there, then, did you have another job there?
Not there, no.
What work did you do after that, then?
Well, when I came to the coast. Before I came to the coast, I had a position offered me at St. Olaf College. Oh. And I came out here, and of course I thought I was going to go back.
Mm-hmm. What would that have been at St. Olaf?
I can't remember. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it didn't, somehow or other, I wasn't too interested. Because I had an idea it was too heavy a job for me. So when I came out here, we went out to, the Preusses came out here, Idella and Joachim Preuss, and he was governor of Minnesota at the time.
Mr. Preuss was governor?
Yeah, uh-huh. And his wife, we'd been friends for years since we were small. And they came out, and he wanted to go out and see Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let's go and see PLU, where my father spent some money for the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out, and I was with them, and we met Professor Hong,
mm-hmm.
and they talked a while, and he asked me what I'd been doing, and he hired me immediately to be a dean of women.
What year was that then? Do you remember?
1912.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you were with the Preusses then when you went out to Parkland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you got your job there?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then your father and his wife were still living in the Tacoma area.
Yes.
What church was his then?
His was in Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I can't remember the name of it.
Uh-huh.
It was up on I Street. And now, the last time I was there, and my brother and I went to look at it, the colored people are there.
Uh-huh.
They're all on that district up in through there, and they were in that church too. Uh-huh.
This is in Tacoma then?
In Tacoma. And I went to the parsonage. We wanted to see Bernard was with me. And he wanted to see the place where he was born, so we went there. And these colored people had used the house for an office.
Uh-huh.
And they took us all through. It was so nice.
Yeah. Well, then you started then as in 1912.
12, yeah.
Uh-huh. Tell me about your job there then. How did you... What were some of the things that you did?
Oh, I don't know. Usually what any dean does. You had to just, you know, you look after the girls.
Uh-huh. How many students were there at that time?
I'm not sure. Between 50 and 70, I think. Mm-hmm. Someplace along there. There weren't too many. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
There were the girls in the dorm. Of course, there were those students from outside that came in during the day.
Did you live at the school? Did you have
yes.
a room there?
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat in the dining room with the students? Do you remember, are there any rules, especially that the girls had that you remember? That
I knew they couldn't be out after 10 o'clock. I think that rule was good for many, many years.
Uh-huh. Was there anything about, what did they wear? Did they have a uniform at that time?
No, they didn't have a uniform. They just wore the clothes they had.
Did you teach any classes there?
I taught English for a while to some of these foreign students.
Mm-hmm.
and I taught spelling. But then it got to be too much of the other work I had, so I quit. I remember we had one boy, and he'd always read. When I say to read, he'd read, but and then one day I called on him, and he couldn't read a word. And I wondered what in the world was wrong. And here he had been smart enough to sit, for he knew that, and he'd memorized all this reading lesson. See, this is a class of foreigners learning English. And poor fella, I called him Imman and to find out how it was. He couldn't even read his own language, and he was Italian. And I said, "Why, that's strange." He said, "No, the well-to-do Italians in my town didn't have to go to school if they didn't want to, and my parents didn't send me to school."
Oh, well, for goodness sake.
And I said, "How did you become interested then in wanting to learn?" Well, he said, "I've worked in Alaska. And the men would sit around their evening reading, and they seemed to enjoy it so much, I thought, I want to learn." But, you know, not any of the teachers at PLU felt they were able to teach that man, because he was fully grown. Mm-hmm. And so Xavier went to Seattle at the university and got somebody over there that could help him.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard what happened, but I think maybe Xavier did, but I didn't hear what happened after that.
Well, for goodness sake. Did the students attend the chapel there?
Oh, yes.
Was it required that they go a certain...
It was once upon a time required, but when I was there, I think it was optional, and nearly everybody went.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have it every day. I think there's one day they didn't have it, and I've forgotten which day that was.
Mm-hmm.
Certain year that was, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. There was one main building there, wasn't there? Was that Harstad Hall?
Yes, the mm-hmm. main building.
Where did you live then at that time? Was that part of that building? Did you?
Yes, I lived on the second floor for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we were married, we lived in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Of Harstad.
In Harstad, uh-huh. We had three rooms down there. It was a real nice apartment.
Uh-huh.
And then we ate all our meals at the college.
Uh-huh. Are there any students that you remember that later became teachers there?
Oh, not there at PLU.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, yes, no. Well, not when I was teaching,
mm-hmm.
but now Ricky mm-hmm. lived with us after I was married. He lived with us for 4 years when he went to PLU.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And one of the other Rikis, I have the list of all those that lived with us. There were about 24 or more.
Oh, the students that boarded with you?
Well, they didn't board, they just roomed, because
uh-huh.
they didn't. Then they built a new dorm, you see, and then they didn't need to ask outside people to house them. But they had to be housed.
Did you enjoy your job there as a dean?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So many nice teachers there.
And then when were you married?
In 1914.
Mm-hmm. And what was your husband's name?
His name was Ole J. Stewen.
Where did you meet him?
I met him at the college.
Was he a student there?
No, he was a teacher.
Uh-huh. What did he teach?
Taught physics and German.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, they asked him to take the library. So he went to university then and took a course in librarian's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did the, and then he taught. I guess he had to teach Norwegian too for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in the library for 10 years straight then.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm. Well, let's start here then.
On that later. Yeah. I'm just trying to recognize that she jumped from 1914 to about 1935.
I see.
So.
Okay. So he had. At what time he had been teaching some classes for Scandinavians that were fishing in Alaska? They were short courses.
No, they came to college. They came to the college.
I see.
They'd come there for the winter because they said it was cheaper than living at a hotel and they could learn something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was good. Uh huh.
Uh huh. Well, that's what they did.
Yeah. And then he had. Tell me about the tennis court then. He helped build the first tennis court.
Yes, he did that. He's the one that started the tennis work for tennis.
Uh huh. Where was that tennis court then?
They set up a croquet court. The first thing that I remember, it was right outside the door, and the kids would play croquet sometimes between classes and usually between lunch and the first class.
Mm-hmm. And the tennis court then was south of Old Main.
Yeah, it was that's right. It was south. Mm-hmm. It was just where they started it.
And then he had left the university for a time, but what
the university was closed, and then he worked for the immigration.
Customs.
What?
It was Customs Service.
Oh, yeah, Customs Service. That's right.
I see. When was the university closed then? What were those years?
Oh dear, I can't remember. When was the war?
During World War One.
Yeah. I can't remember the dates. Isn't that terrible? I was thinking of that the other day. I'd better look it up, but where do I look it up?
I
have to have a new history.
Mm-hmm. Where were you married?
In Tacoma.
Which church there? Was it at a
church
or home?
I was married in my father's home.
Mm-hmm. Did he marry you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a wedding dress? What was your dress like?
Sure. I just had a plain white dress.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I had it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Did you have bridesmaids?
I had my sister.
Uh-huh. Where had your husband been? Where was he born?
He's born in Norway.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where? What town?
In Oppdal. Near Oppdal.
Mm-hmm.
O-P-D-A-H-L, I guess it's been. O-P-D-A-L? Oppdal, then.
Did you know anything about his parents?
Well, I didn't know too much. They had a big farm, I think. Wasn't that it, John? You've been there, haven't you?
He came to Idaho. Do you know when that was? What year that was that he came from Norway? Mm-hmm. Why did he come? Do you know?
Yeah, because he wanted an education. I think he said he had $200 when he came. I'm not sure, but it seems to me that's what he said. So that wasn't bad. Some of them came with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Where did he go to school then after he came?
He went in Idaho, but you see, he'd been going to a school in the old country that was, what was it? It was one of those
technical
schools. Yeah, and he'd learned some English before he came here.
Oh.
So he could understand quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm. And then he came to Dakota?
No. He came to Tacoma.
Did he go to school here then?
Yeah, he went to PLU. Graduated there.
And then went back to teach there.
Yeah. Well, then he went to university after that to get a degree.
Do you remember when your husband, Ole, came, after he came to the U.S. and before he married you, do you remember hearing some experiences he had?
No, because I didn't meet him until I was at PLU.
Mm-hmm. But you know that he had worked in Alaska?
Well, he worked in Alaska, yes. And then he went up there once after we married.
Mm-hmm.
The school was closed down. There's no income.
Mm-hmm.
So he went up there and worked for a while.
Mm-hmm. Did he work on the railroad in Alaska? Was that?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And then there was something here, the Alaska Exposition he worked on?
That was in Seattle, Alaska. Uh-huh. Well, I think he was sort of a policeman at that time. What did you call him, a guard or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about Doll's Store. Do you remember Doll's Store?
Yes, I remember
What could you tell me about that?
Well, Did you talk to Mrs. Dole about this?
Yes, I talked to Mrs. Dole some about it. And
yeah.
Do you remember where was the store?
Well, I don't know. The Main Street in Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the store is still there, the building at least.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was another store there first, the Lehman store. And that had been, whose was it now? Mrs. Lono's, is it funny, just escaped me. It'll come to me, I suppose. Mrs. Lono's folks, Crubble had that store before Lehman in Parkland. And the Crubbles were quite well known, I think. One of them had a state position of some kind. And Mrs. Lono, if you know who she is, she's Mrs. Who is she now? Lund.
Mm-hmm.
That was her father
mm-hmm.
that had it.
Can you tell me about Stewen Hall?
I don't know. I can't tell you much about that except that we were there when it was dedicated. And I don't remember. I know why they named it now, because they bought some lots from me, and then I had about 4 or 6 lots. I don't know. I said, what am I going to do with those? And my husband always said he wanted to give those lots to the college, the ones I sold to them. And I gave them, and I didn't know what I was going to do with those other 4 or 6 lots, so I gave them to the college.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tinglestad said, well, then I'm going to name the building we put on there, Stewen Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what they did.
There was a house there where you and your husband lived?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
they burned the house down.
Uh-huh.
They tried to tear it down because it had such good lumber in it. And hardwood floors, you know, they were heavy hardwood floors, not the kind they put down nowadays, or they did some years ago. And they could not get the nails out. It was those big, you know, they were 4 squares, whatever you call them,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't get the nails out. And I wasn't going to see them burn that house, so I didn't see them burn it, but I thought it was terrible to burn it. Because they could have used it for something, because it had about 10 big rooms in it.
Mm-hmm. There's a building there now, isn't there, where that house...
Yes, I think so. I think there's a dorm there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. What building is on
that?
Stewen Hall.
Stewen Hall.
I see. That house, your house was torn down, and then Stewen Hall was built on that same
mm-hmm.
property.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Did you tell me something about the lumber, the same log that we used in Old Main with the same
that
we used?
Yeah, I think somebody else must have told you that, but
mm-hmm.
that's true. At least that's what I was told.
Mm-hmm. The same logs were used
uh-huh.
in Stewen Hall,
they tore down the barn. There wasn't a single, in all the lumber in that barn.
Mm-hmm.
So good. No knots or any kind.
And where had those logs come from that your house
up,
was built?
Up near Spanaway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Someplace up that way.
Was there a,
well, they may
a
have
mill
come
pond?
Around. Well, there were trees all around in Parkland,
mm-hmm.
just beautiful trees. There was one, a lot of people back east owned many lots because that's what they did. They sold lots and used the money to give to the college.
Mm-hmm.
And one man came out because he had a lot of lovely trees on that piece of property. He had about 6 or 8 lots. And some one of these men had cut down all of those trees, chopped them up in wood, and given it to the widows around.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was so disgusted because there was no trees, because that was his property. I guess those men had to pay him something, but probably not what it was worth. But
have you been active in a church? Have you belonged to a church in Tacoma?
Well, I belong to one in Parkland, Trinity Lutheran Parkland, for years. I still have my membership there.
Have you belonged to other Scandinavian groups? Are there any clubs that you belong
not
to?
Not Scandinavian clubs.
Mm-hmm.
No. But I belonged to reading clubs and things like that. And we had a sewing club, and I don't know.
Were there any groups there when you were when you first were working at Pacific Lutheran? Were there any organizations then that you belonged to?
In the college,
to?
You mean?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, we had some kind of a club, most of the women teachers, and then I think there were church members that belonged to it. Really was the church organization, a women's club.
Okay. Well, after you were married then, did you work anymore at the college, or did you
quit at that time? I think I taught for a year or something like that.
When did your husband retire from there?
He didn't retire. he died before his retirement, just shortly before his retirement.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
What was it, 25? No. Yeah. No, what was it? No, 53.
1953.
53.
I see.
May 1953.
Have you had your children or grandchildren that have gone to Pacific Lutheran?
Yeah, all of them went there. All four of them. All four of them graduated.
Let's see. What are your children's names?
Well, there's John here, and then Elizabeth. Her name is Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there's Mark, and his name is Stone. And then there's Anita, and her name is Potthoff.
Uh-huh. And you've had grandchildren that go to Pacific Lutheran?
Yes. All four of Elizabeth's graduated from Pacific Lutheran, and two of John's did, and I think all four of Mark's did. But I don't know. I don't think. Yes, maybe did Nancy? What? Did she graduate from PLU? No. She got her doctorate up in the New York someplace. So, and I don't think Carrie. Yes, Carrie went 1 year. I know to PLU, but I don't think she graduated. Did she? No.
We'll talk to your son John Stewart a little bit about when you gave the property to Pacific Lutheran.
Oh,
now
then. Right. You were asking about where Stewart Hall rests?
Yes.
The old house was underneath where the north end of the Stewart Hall is now. Stewart Hall runs north and south and also takes in the adjacent lot. And I forget the name of the lady that worked there, that lived there. Do you remember Grandma? Ludwig Larson lived in just behind that. But Ole Stewart liked to work in the yard. I think he missed having a living at home when he was young. So he did an awful lot of yard work. He had probably one kind of every plant in existence around there, at least.
He made the first lawn in Parkland.
Is that right? First lawn.
And I remember that lawn.
And I still get hate for thinking about it, because we used to think we had summer colds or spring colds mowing the lawn those days, you know. But
uh-huh.
I mowed mine today, and I still sneeze.
Yeah.
But underneath where Stewart Hall is now, there were apple trees, cherry trees, bamboo, all sorts of things, rocks that Ole Stewart had split. We'd take a wheelbarrow and wander around park until we found a granite rock. And if it was too big to haul, he'd start splitting it with a sledgehammer. And if that didn't work, then you'd dig under it a little bit and build a little fire. And when it got hot, pour a little water on it, and it'll find a crack. And so we built a rock wall about 100 feet long by hauling rocks home that way. And the backyard.
Is that there anymore? That rock?
No,
wall?
All this is gone because they covered it up with the building. In the backyard, we had cherry trees, apple trees,
raspberries,
blackberries, strawberries, and about, if you put them in a row, about 100 feet of dahlias every year. Chicken yard in the back. And there was a story about that chicken yard too. That was after they tore the old barn down. That barn was so full of fleas. I remember when they took it down, the guys could hardly
work because you're scratching so much.
Where would that barn be in relationship to the school now?
So it'd be about, directly west of the entrance to Stewart Hall. You're going to the main entrance, and out the back door would be about 50, 100 feet beyond that. But it had, there was a chicken yard out back there, too. And I remember one of the students was staying over during a vacation, and he was wandering around getting hungry, I guess, and he saw that chicken yard, so he got over the fence and he picked out a couple of eggs. He told me this later, so I know it's true. But, and cooked them. He said, "Boy, they sure tasted funny." Well, he took them out from under a setting hen, is what
oh,
he did. So,
dear.
So they were pretty well rotten.
You
but,
mentioned about the trees that were there, that you were very concerned about losing those trees and some of the
yeah.
names of people that you remember climbing them.
Well, we know these trees. We had a big fir in the backyard that we strung a radio antenna up about 75 feet up, and some two or three big oak trees that had been growing there for a long time, and mother was very concerned about those oak trees. I think that's one she was worried about. There was a tree next door we had a basket hoop on that Paul Larson got to be an expert at shooting at. But remember one thing on him too, he climbed up the tree one day and he couldn't get down, so we heard him hollering like mad. One of his older sisters had to get him down. That was Pauline Larson. And on campus, the trees, I don't know if they're still there or not. I didn't look the last time. It was a night, but it'd be just west of where the student services building is, or where the old banquets and so forth. Just two monstrous trees. They were way up there. And as far as I know, there were only about four people that ever climbed those trees. I think of two Kreidler boys, Myron and Burton, and Pauline Larson and one of her friends. And they climb it up and they'd hang a handkerchief up there. And that thing must have been close to 200 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
And then one of the Kreidler boys didn't have any sense of fear.
That was Burton.
Bert. He'd climb up on top of the smokestack of the big old main and walk around the rim of it.
And that big thing at the top,
Yeah.
He climbed on top of that.
He had no fear of height. That's pretty
and
high
he
up.
Cat
I've never been
there. Didn't he take the cat with him? They heard that a cat could do any kind of a jump and he threw the cat down.
I didn't hear about
there.
That.
What?
He probably experimented. I didn't hear about that.
Who is he now? This man you're talking about, is he
Burton
connected
is.
With
his mother was Nina Wiman when I was in high school there.
His mother was Nina Wiman.
At Pacific Loop.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He's dead.
But Burton's been dead.
He's been dead. His wife still lives in Port Orchard, I think.
She is.
I had his daughter in school after he was gone.
Oh, did you?
Over there.
Burton's daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you?
One of them.
You were saying about dinners on Sunday at your dad's.
Well, chicken dinner out of the backyard, too, see. Not all the time, but. And then they'd, if she had one of these dinners, it'd be Mr. Savier. Mrs. Savier liked to play golf, too. And George Fisher, was Mrs. Fisher Mrs. Savier's sister?
Yeah.
And George Fisher was a banker from Tacoma, but he'd rather be with his buddies out here. My dad, and who else? There at times there were Ringsted, and maybe that would be all. They'd go down and play golf on the prairie before the golf course was built. They'd cut a stick and put a tin can, knock off some of the scotch broom, and they'd play from about where the clubhouse is now, almost up to the hill by the mill pond, long walk and back and forth. Or they go play Meadow Park, or finally when the golf course was built, they'd be down there. Then they'd come back and either sit around our house or go over to Savier's, where we'd the kids always had games to play and other things to do too until we got old enough to play golf.
They always had a meal either Savier's or Savier's.
Yeah.
But
so that was a good weather particularly.
Yeah,
but
that's when they played golf.
And the houses were big enough so that the two Savier kids and four of us and one Fisher boy would come out and we'd have a pretty good time. There were other kids in there
Those were good times.
I think George Fisher's gone too, isn't he?
Old George? I don't know. I haven't seen young George for some time. I think he's still around.
Young George Fisher, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've had a long involvement with Pacific Lutheran University then, haven't you?
I really have.
Yeah, with your...
Ever since 1912. And now, well, now I don't have any grand. Are there any grandchildren at PLU now, John? Yeah, Margot. Yeah, Margot. That's the youngest one.
From 1912, when you started there, until 1980 with your grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything else you would like to add that you've thought of?
No, I don't think of anything. I don't think of anything.